Hey friends, this is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie, and this is the Type A Hippie podcast, CheekCast episode 12, I believe. I hope it is. So I'm with a friend of mine, David Ratchford, and he has his own podcast and does a lot of marketing. And we first connected because I read an article in Yoga Journal that he was interviewed for, and it said that he was former military and he was a yogi and taught yoga. And I was like, I'm intrigued. I need to meet this person or at least talk to him. And so I reached out via Facebook and then we started connecting. We connected there and then we talked on the phone a couple times. And he's actually one of the reasons that I started this podcast. So you all can thank him, because the first time one of my friends, Stephanie, mentioned it, I wept. And then a month later when he mentioned it, I wasn't crying. And so I told him that that was progress. And I still wasn't ready to say anything or didn't really feel like I had anything to say until Thanksgiving. And then now I've brought to you all a multitude of episodes in a row. So there you have it. So everyone, meet David. So this is actually, like I said, maybe I didn't say it. It's the CheekCast episode 13. So David, what's up?
It is awesome to be here, and I'm so glad to be here with you, Shadima. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to do it. So we started talking, and the theme seems to be going with everyone that I'm talking to is that we could talk for hours. So we started talking, and he finally was like, okay, Shadima, let's start this podcast. So here we are, and we are going to chat about self-care, yoga, his own journey, maybe the military, spirituality, the divine, nature, any number of things. And hopefully you all will be enjoying yourselves listening as we are enjoying ourselves chatting. So David, how did you get to where you are right now? I know that's a pretty loaded question, but.
Sure. So I'll skip some of the, you know, I was born here and blah, 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 because that's not really interesting to people. I think what's interesting to people, what people seem to tune into is the fact that I was a Navy firefighter. I was injured in a training accident where I ruptured L4, L5, L5, S1 discs and had severe sciatica, nerve damage, which is still there, basically. But basically, the military kicked me out at one point because they'd used me up and put me into the VA healthcare system, which was really good at dispensing drugs to Sure. take care of symptoms. And so basically I went to college with a big bottle of morphine in oral form and some nerve blockers. And I was and basically partied my way through college because after going through what was it? It was Operation Restore Hope as Task Force Bravo in Somalia, 1993. Yeah. And I wanted to enjoy an installment of vacation and somehow made it through school and found a profession and all of that good stuff.
Where did you go to school? And,
I went to UCSB.
Okay.
UC Santa Barbara.
Nice.
And eventually, though, the injury came back to haunt me again.
Sure.
Because number one, I refused surgery, but you know, I just didn't believe that surgery and cutting on my body was going to heal me. I knew that there was something else out there. The second time I started going back through treatment and pain management, of course, they prescribe physical therapy. And the VA medical center is about an hour and a half away from me. So while I was in there doing the physical therapy, I asked the PTs, what can I do at home in order to start or continue these practices? And one of the PTs told me, this is basically yoga. What I would recommend is you go to a hot yoga studio and just do what you can, but stick with it. So I ended up finding myself in a hot yoga studio. And I got to say, I mean, like at the time I was overweight, I was severely addicted to narcotics, or I wouldn't say maybe not addicted, but definitely dependent.
Dependent, right.
You know, because I was using them to manage the pain as prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I was also seeking out alternative modalities. For example, I knew that the narcotics were just masking symptoms. So I took some steps digging into my own pocket, and I was working at a decent job, so I had some money that I could put towards this. I invested in acupuncture treatment, which allowed me to cut my narcotic use by about half.
That's amazing.
And then the yoga started working. And it took a few months. Mm-hmm. It took like 2 or 3 months before all of a sudden, you know, maybe I was also losing weight, but I was gaining some flexibility, releasing some muscles, releasing some of these emotional things that emotional pain that can get stuck in the body
and trauma.
Right. And eventually a cortisone shot seemed to like knock everything down, and all of a sudden I felt like I was better again. And so because all of a sudden it was a combination of yoga, non-traditional treatment with acupuncture, and traditional treatment, which was the steroids of a cortisone shot, that all of a sudden I found myself pain-free and my life opened up again.
Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, and that's one of the reasons I had initially reached out to you, was because of trauma-sensitive yoga and how important that is, and the body, you know, as you know, because you know a lot about yoga and you teach it, the body hangs on to the trauma. And it's funny that you talk about pain medication dependence, because a couple episodes ago I talked to someone that we were talking about the epidemic that's happening in this country in terms of opioid addiction and dependence, and just how it touches so many people's lives, and it doesn't have to end there. You know, I love
right.
how and you said that your world opened up after you were pain free. And it's not that people aren't legitimately in pain. I believe people when they say that they're in pain and that they are seeking some sort of solution. I just am grateful when people find a solution that brings them back to health and doesn't take away their health.
Right. I knew that the narcotics were just masking a symptom.
Sure.
And to me, that's never okay. I don't want to look at just a symptom. I don't want to put a Band-Aid on something exactly. and just cover it up so I can't see the wound. I mean, I know that in order to get true healing, you have to really explore the wound and work through it.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. I was involved in a really bad car accident, actually, it's not funny, but when I was moving my first attempt this spring, May 7th, I moved from Vegas to California to start school, and I was towing a trailer with a small SUV, and the trailer flipped my truck, and so I ended up on the driver's side. I had to climb out of the passenger side, and I'd already been in a car accident prior to that, 4 years prior. And so, you know, I've been to providers and they're like, well, we can prescribe you pain medication. And I'm like, no. And they're like, well, what about ibuprofen? I'm like, no. I'm starting physical therapy, but essential oils and yoga has been helpful. It hasn't
right.
taken all of it away, but I'm also really I really am the type A hippie because I'm like, no to medications. And not that there's not a role, you know, there's definitely.
Well, and have you explored Ayurveda, like using things like turmeric and anti-inflammatory diets that can really help you?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I have. I have explored that. I can probably do a better job. See, that's why I need you in my life, David. You remind me of these things. I can probably do a better job at looking at some of that stuff and moving my body more. Definitely.
Well, and see, this is one of my issues with the healthcare system in general is that when we look outside of ourselves for the answer, my 2 cents is that nobody cares as much about your health and wellness as you.
That's right.
And if you don't care as much or more than your doctor, you know, there's something to look at. And I realized a couple years ago, despite the fact that I had eventually gotten myself pain free, you know, I was in a super high stress job and earning a really nice income, which allowed me to get a little sloppy with some of my habits. So I would go to the wine bar every day after work, drink a bottle of wine, sometimes get one to go home.
Take the edge off, right?
Right. You know, and then my pattern was that I would then, you know, like gorge on carbohydrates. So I put on a bunch of weight and I go to my doctor and he's telling me, hey, you know, David, you're 40 pounds overweight and your blood pressure is borderline high and all of this kind of stuff. And I want to put you on some medication. And I'm like, give me 6 months.
Yeah.
And I went to go back and focus on my yoga and reprogrammed myself in order, you know, I just changed my habits. I changed where I went after work. Instead of going to the wine bar, I went to the yoga studio.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, having, you know, a wine after work or when I got home, it was just water and lots of veggies. And within 6 months, I completely transformed not only my blood work, but all my health markers. You know, I dropped the 40 pounds and I go back for the checkup and he's like, wow, you know, this is amazing. What are you doing? And I said, it's yoga.
And what did he say?
He said, I wish all my patients could do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was kind of it was a moment in my life when I looked at things really critically. And I said, okay, there was a time when I was not happy. There was a time when I was in pain. There was a time when I was really feeling depression. Mm-hmm. And I asked, what were the things, what was my mindset when I was looking at that? And really what it came down to was I was not living in accordance with my values. And what I mean by that is there's a concept in psychology called congruency.
Yeah.
And to be congruent, if you go back to geometry class, it means that the outside angles reflect the inside. So in psychology, it means that the outside person reflects the inner values. So if I'm somebody that values health and fitness, yet I'm drinking and smoking and overeating,
right,
then I'm being incongruent, which will lead to depression and stress because I'm not acting in alignment with my values.
Sure.
So I did a real serious inventory on myself and I said, okay, what are my values? I think a lot of people are not really clear on that.
Yeah.
And I realized my values were, number one, health and fitness. I know that when I'm active and moving my body, aerobically and, you know, in having a feeling of suppleness and flexibility in my body, I know that I feel good in my body and I don't need as much, stuff to like cover it up, specifically like mind altering or physiology altering drugs or substances. Right. I know that I need to have an element of beauty in my life. I would not do well in New York City. I would not do well sitting in.
Do you mean nature beauty or do you mean people beauty?
Yeah, nature beauty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, I need physical, or I need nature beauty, mountains, ocean,
yeah,
trees. That's just something that I value in my life, and I need it. I can do it for a little while, but I know that I'm just not happy sitting in asphalt and concrete and traffic.
Yeah.
You know, and so I went through these things and I identified my values and then I started to rearrange my life in order to live in accordance with them.
It's interesting that you say that because I read a book. I don't know. Okay, so before we hit record, I'll catch y'all up. So David is like me. We have so many similarities. It's kind of crazy. And we haven't yet met, which is also interesting. But I'll tell you, I always say that I'm my father's daughter because my dad has a book problem. And so David just admitted to me that he has a book problem. And I definitely have a book problem, meaning I buy a ton of books. Like, I have a ton of books. And those are some of the few things that I was like, oh, no, these must make it to Michigan from Vegas when I move. And I recently read this book, and I don't know if you've read it, David, yet. It's called Rewired. Have you read it? By Erica Spiegelman.
Yeah, I had Erica Spiegelman on my podcast back in maybe June, July.
Okay. She's pretty rad. So, like, I actually invited her to mine as well. And so we're just coordinating dates. And then she invited
one of the things, the idea of authenticity
in her book, which is similar to your concept of congruence and
Just
living a life that's authentic and consistent with your own values and
kind of taking stock
on that.
Yeah, that's what I really liked about her approach in Rewired was mm-hmm. that it was a values-based approach. Unfortunately, I gave that book away to somebody who needed it more than I did, but I did read it and I had a great chat with Erica. She's wonderful.
Yeah, no, she seems pretty cool. Yeah, I like that too. And it's interesting because I do feel that there are so many people that are living a life that is inconsistent with what truly matters to them because of any number of reasons. So perhaps it's keeping up with the Joneses. Perhaps it is expectations that others have on them or expectations they have on themselves. And one of the things that I've found is that since moving to Michigan and other people that knew me before moving here have noticed this too. So I don't love the cold. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm always cold. Even in Vegas, I was cold. And I taught hot yoga in Vegas and I was happy doing that. So, and it wasn't out in the street for all you wise people who think you're so funny. It wasn't out in the street. It was in a hot yoga studio. But my point is that I moved to Michigan. And so it was nice when I moved here because it was in August. And then it was 12 degrees last week or a couple days ago, you know. So I don't love the weather here, yet there's something within me that's come alive in a way that hadn't been alive prior to coming here. And so that doesn't mean that I'm going to be here forever because I don't think I can handle this weather forever. That said, I feel like I'm living more consistently in alignment with the things that I believe. And so I am doing advocacy work, which is something that I said that I would do in California as soon as I moved back to Michigan. And I'm actually doing that. I did start this podcast, even though I thought I wasn't going to, and I'm enjoying this. And, you know, school and life and just enjoying spending time with my family again and my nephews in particular and the people that have. It's kind of like your vibe attracts the right people into your life, right? Like who I am, it attracts some of who you are, and then we're connected. And so that I've seen a lot more than I had in both LA and in Vegas. It's kind of really interesting to kind of look at it from a third party view of like, okay, I am kind of in alignment. And so we were talking before we hit record also, but, for me, I find the divine or spirit or the idea of a power that's greater than myself in nature. And so when I look up or when I feel discouraged and I feel like maybe I'm not doing what I need to be doing, or perhaps I'm living inauthentically or being dishonest in some way, and not cash register dishonest, but just there's something kind of not in alignment, and I look up and I see the sun shining, then it reorients me back to what I was doing or what I was, you know, and I kind of get this infusion of energy to be like, okay.
Well, and that's the gift of total presence. That's the gift of awareness. And the sign of an awakened individual is I had a moment, it's weird, I can't pinpoint the day, but I was walking out to my car one morning and the sun somehow hit my keys and reflected on the fence that I was walking by. And I thought, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's being able to just be in the moment and find that tiny little bit of beauty, that tiny bit of connection that that shows that you're completely awake and aware in the moment for something that might be completely insignificant. Hey, it's a reflection of light on a fence, but it was beautiful to me.
Yeah.
And it meant so much to me. Because I smiled inside. I smiled outside. Mm-hmm. And that's when you know you're really in alignment and you're really being in the moment and having that true presence of being in the here and now. Because when we get out of the here and now, that's when we start to associate like pain and suffering with ourselves.
Right.
Or with what we're not or what we want to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do gratitude lists quite often of things that I'm grateful or for things that I'm grateful. And the thing is, though, there's action behind that. So gratitude to me is an action word. So I can't say I'm grateful for my car and then my car be a mess because it's inconsistent. I would want to take care of my stuff, something like my car or my place, if I'm saying that I'm grateful for it. And so what keeps me in alignment besides yoga and besides some of the self-care that I engage in, like essential oils and spending time with loved ones, is gratitude lists and taking a look at the action behind the gratitude so that I'm fully aware and fully present. Because it's easy to compare, like, right? Comparison is the thief of joy. So I can scroll through social media and look at the presence that everyone puts out there, you know, the social media face of their lives, which isn't always consistent, and take a look at who has what and who's getting engaged and who's pregnant and who got married and, you know, who has kids and all of this stuff, and look at what I don't have. Or I can look at what I do have and be grateful for that and keep it moving, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So before we got on gratitude, you talked a little bit about self-care. And I think that was something in the pre-call that we wanted to dive into a little bit.
Yeah, I want you to.
Yeah. So for me, self-care is, as you said, acting in alignment with my values and keeping that list of what is important to me really close. For example, health and fitness. Am I doing something in my daily practice that contributes to my health and wellness? And that means I need to sweat. I need to have some aerobic stuff. I need to have some bendy yoga stuff because I know that my body feels good. And one of the reasons why I'm like feeling super talkative right now is because I just had an amazing yoga class about an hour before we got on this call. And
is that why we started later? So that
probably
you can go to yoga? Got it.
Yes. Yeah, I needed to have it in my body. I've had a lot of stress in my life the last couple of weeks, and there have been times when I've had to run around running errands and taking care of some business matters that I wasn't as consistent in my yoga practice. And I knew that was beginning to affect me. So I wanted to make sure that I get that back into it and schedule it just because, you know, hey, I had to make some deadlines. And there are times when you have to do that in order to in order to take care of business or the life and, you know, get paid or whatever it is that you really need to do in order to make sure that your life is working for you in other ways. But it really comes back down to health. You know, if your body is not healthy, or I feel like if my body is not healthy, David ain't happy.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, the other things were, or for example, nature. Today I got out in nature. I took a run along a little trail that's not too far. And I live in an area where, by design, that I'm really only 3 to 5 minutes away from someplace really beautiful. So I can get out and enjoy space, with no buildings looming over me, open sky, ocean, mountains, that kind of stuff. And that's important to me. So it's one of my values is to get out in nature and observe things. So those are some ways that I take care of myself. Besides nutrition, you know, obviously trying not to eat like a gourmand, you know, I try to keep it clean and healthy
What's your favorite food?
Ooh, you know, it depends on how hungry I am.
Okay. Let's say you're really hungry.
Yeah. I would eat anything. as I've shown. I'm not vegan by any means. I try to eat balanced. There's a term that Sadie Nardini, sort of a popular yogi, uses that's called healthy decadence. Mm-hmm. And I like that. You know, it's in general be healthy. But every now and then, you know, you can have a decadent day, mm-hmm. you know, and be unapologetic about it, because food is one of those central things that when you eat it, you can, it's like music. You can let the symphony play out on your palate.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Let the symphony play on your palate. That's a good one. That should be a t-shirt or something.
Mm-hmm.
Tank top. So music is one of mine in terms of self-care. Like, I did a dance party yesterday by myself because it's fun and I can listen to music and just dance, and that's exercise. And I have fun, I sweat it out and get whatever frustrations. And not that I had any yesterday, but I wanted to move my body, and I had done a little yoga, and I was like, I think I just want to, dance it out. So
I think that's something that we don't allow ourselves enough to do these days is to connect with that fun side. I mean, especially for those of us who don't have kids that are constantly playing and being goof-offs,
yeah.
That we're like trying to entertain and all of that. But if we're single and in that age when everybody else has kids and gets to be goofy and silly, or maybe you're trying to be the responsible parent, you know, and you don't allow yourself to show that side because you want your kid to respect you and not, you know, think of you as like a goofball. So one of the things that I challenged myself this last year with is now I teach a playful power yoga class. And
Okay, and so where do you
teach? So I teach at a studio called Power of Your Om, which is it's a Baptiste inspired studio, which means it's a hot power yoga studio. And we teach a couple other classes, like, you know, we have a chill it out yin class. But in general, it's hot power yoga. So heated to about 95 degrees. It's very sweaty, very powerful athletic practice.
That's my kind of practice. So friends, if you're in Santa Barbara area, you need to check out David's class. All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Totally.
And I started teaching the playful power class because it's a little bit outside of my comfort zone. I mean, people see me and they say, okay, here is a big guy. I'm 225 pounds and I teach yoga And now all of a sudden we're doing like dance party moves in class. You know,
oh my God, I would love that.
So there's sometimes some incongruency, like it doesn't, but maybe it seems like it's incongruent, but you know, we try to come from a place of love, acceptance, and just having a freaking fun time.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, what's interesting is whenever I travel, I generally 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go to a yoga class. And a lot of times people say that my practice is fun, and not necessarily the most advanced, even though I, you know, have practiced for a long time. It's more that I enjoy my life and it shows on my mat. And so, especially when people are playing great music, like I love playlists and I love to hear different people's playlists. And so when the music resonates with me and it gets me moving my body, I'm definitely moving my body. And it may not be, I mean, I might be in chair, but I'm probably going to be dancing if the song is a good song. So I would, that means
right
I
on.
Just need to come out to Santa Barbara.
Right on. Point,
right?
Love to have you.
Check out this playful power yoga class. All right. What else do you have for us, David? Anything else that you are, that you feel really strongly in terms of sharing? Well, tell me about your podcast though.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I feel like that for me, that's part of my self-care is when I drive, like, I'll tell you when I got most into podcasts when I lived in California for that short period of time.
Because right. Because you're in traffic
commuting.
All the time.
Oh my gosh. And here's the thing. So when I moved out there, I thought everyone was like me and they were all hippies. No, maybe David is, but the rest of the LA people, well, he's not even in LA, but the LA people were not hippies at all. They were not hippies at all. And so I thought these people would be like beachy people that were chill. No. And so I was commuting a lot, and the commute in LA or between, like, even because I lived outside of LA by a lot. So, and I was going to school by LAX, the airport, but I was driving, like I had to get up at 4 a.m. when I lived in Arcadia for a month, and then I would be on the road by 5:30, like 5:30 was way too late actually, because I would hit 6 a.m. traffic. And then when I moved to Pasadena, I could
that sounds completely miserable to me. I mean, you just spend your life in traffic.
Oh,
and goodness. And that's completely against one of, you know, my values.
It's
and
horrible.
Is that,
it was horrible.
That I just and I can see why you would get involved in podcasts. And in fact, today, like I was driving back from the yoga studio, and my drive is about 10 minutes. And I was listening to an AM talk radio station. And then I just realized, you know, that this conversation was just gossip and negative. Mm-hmm. So I flipped it to another station and it was more of the same. And then I flipped it to music and I was like, you know, why am I not listening to podcasts even in the 10 minutes that I'm in my car?
Exactly.
I should be curating this thing in my mind of what Zig Ziglar calls, you know, audio university or auto university, where back in the day you would listen to cassette tapes or CDs during your commute. And that's the great thing about podcasting is you get to curate what you're actually listening to and make it something that serves you instead of just being in reaction or, you know, to what the media is serving you.
Absolutely.
So my podcast is called The Better Human Challenge. It's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on my website at davidratchford.com. And what we talk about is creating a life about becoming a better human. And what we like to do is throw down a challenge in each episode where there's something that you can actually do. And we support you with that through engagement in the Better Human Challenge Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/betterhumanchallenge. And we've got a pretty active group there of people like us who are interested in personal development, who are interested in creating a more conscious soul and doing what serves them and serves their communities. Really, I created the podcast to talk about health and fitness, to talk about giving back and living a life of service. And also anything that really comes up with these things like relationships that are so important in our lives. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's how do you feel? Right. How do you feel about those in your life? And are you making a contribution? Those are the big things in life. And I want to do as much as I can with as many people as I can, right, and serve as big as I can in my life. And that's why I created the podcast. And so that's how I get to connect with wonderful people around the world and across the country. It's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just got invited to the Facebook page, and so far so good. There does seem to be a lot of discussion, and you post some thought-provoking pieces on there, thoughts, quotes, that sort of thing. And you're right about the commute. I mean, the commute in California, depending on where you're going, will make you want to, like, stop it, drop and roll out of your car while it's moving, you know? But yeah, I get to be in control. It's like when you were talking about going to the doctor and just listening passively to what you're supposed to do. You know, I remember I went to a specialist once, and the resident, there were two residents that were, I mean, they're there, they're new physicians, they're learning. And one of them was really rude. And I told my specialist, you know what, this person's not allowed back in the room, and this other person is. And she said, oh, they'll only be in for a little while. And I said, no, she won't be in for any while, because I'm the CEO and you all sit on my board of directors. And so this is how it's going to roll, you know? And
I like that.
I felt more empowered by saying that one statement, and she looked at me like, oh, okay, you know? And it caused her to pause. And she is really kind and really good at what she does. And that was one of the times that I first started to kind of activate my own voice and speak up for myself in that sort of setting. I mean, it wasn't the first time, but I felt more comfortable doing it than the very first time I had done something like that. And so that's just kind of how I roll now. I'm definitely sweet and definitely spicy, because it's like, no. And when I, you know, I haven't listened to music in my car besides music that I like, playlists that I've put together, but not the radio, because to your point, I'm just not interested. And it's not from I think I'm going to do a podcast sometime about like judgment versus discernment. I have to take responsibility for what I allow to come into my consciousness, because when I'm just passively there, then anything can come and essentially assault, you know, me, you know, and it's just not what I choose to do, you know? So podcast has definitely been the way to go. So we got to wrap up, sadly, because everyone has something else to do, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, our time's coming to an end.
Totally.
But this has been a lot of fun, Shadima. I'm so stoked to be on here and to share. This has been great.
I'm so glad that you were able to do it. So as is now our new tradition on this podcast, I'm going to read a couple stories from Humans of New York, the book, and then we'll close out. So here we go. So this guy, he looks like he might be David's friend. He's on a boat. And he says, I prefer maritime laws over laws on land. Maritime laws only exist to guarantee safe passage. There are no loopholes or biases to favor more powerful vessels. Every ship is equal, and no one is more powerful than the sea. Then another guy says, the great thing about New York is that if you sit in one place long enough, the whole world comes to you. And finally, a gentleman says, I came to America about 2 months ago. I began working here shortly after I arrived from Ghana. At this shop, you must begin as a stock boy. The work can sometimes be very hard, a lot of stacking and carrying boxes. But I am a very hard worker. There is nothing I will not do if you tell me to do it. They told me that if I did a good job as a stock boy, eventually they would move me into sales. And thanks to the goodness of God, they have just now chosen to move me into sales. So again, thank you, David, for joining me and us this evening. Glad that you were here. So
it's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Totally. So I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in you and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. So friends, have a wonderful, blessed rest of your day. My name is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie. Namaste.
Namaste.